At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is the Greg Peterson Experience. He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. On VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back in the GPE, rolling along for the final and third hour here on VSiN, the sports betting network. I love that intro so much. Greg's out tonight. He's back tomorrow. I'm Jeff Parles in for Greg Peterson. Mackenzie Kramer is going to join us in 15 minutes of ESPN stats and information. He has plays on the NCAA tournament. It feels like everyone has plays on the NCAA tournament. And of course, you should. It's March Madness, baby. Can't wait for this weekend. It's going to be a fun round of 16. Very, very interested to see how the one seeds handle. Let's face it, Alabama is a road that, based off the seeds that are left in that region, you better make it out of there if you're Alabama. Better make it to the Final Four. At a bare minimum, honestly, with that all that side of the bracket looks, you better make it to the title game. And if you lose, so be it. Set up for them. And then Houston. Are they the team we've seen the first three halves of the tournament, or are they the team we saw in the second half? Just kind of crazy how bad it was for three halves, and then bang, looked like the dominant team they were for most of the season in the second half against Auburn. All right, let's go to the East. Thursday games, Madison Square Garden. Manhattan in Manhattan. The Little Apple takes on the Big Apple at K-State. How about that? I can tell you, Manhattan, Kansas, a lot different than Manhattan. Just tell you that. Can't get much different. K-State opened a favorite against Michigan State. They're now an underdog. We talked about this a little bit last night. Tom Izzo is 18-6 all-time in the second weekend of the tournament. Tom Izzo, as Sean pointed out before, has 14 wins as a lower seed, as a not-as-good seed. The last time a 7 was favored over a top-3 seed was Tom Izzo in Michigan State in 2015. Their 2-point favorite against Oklahoma in Syracuse that day, and Michigan State won the game outright, and then won the following round and made it to the Final Four. So, there are a few things in this game. We talked about a little bit this with Sean. So, Michigan State is a great three-point shooting team that had a horrible shooting game against Marquette and lived to tell the tale. Michigan State, this year, three-point-wise, okay, is sixth. They're close to 40% from three. That's outrageously good. And against Marquette, they made two. They made two threes. When you're a great three-point shooting team and you find a way to win, that usually means you're going to have some more success in this tournament. But then you look at Kansas State. By the way, I'll say this before we get into K-State. Jerome Tang deserves so much credit for what has been done in year one. They had four players on the roster in August. School starts in the last week of August for K-State. They have four players on the roster at that point. And they're playing in Madison Square Garden the second week of the NCAA tournament. It's incredible what he's done in year one in Manhattan. Also begs the question, if you're Texas and you don't want to retain Rodney Terry, that's the call you probably make. And if he says no, so be it. But that's the call I would make if I was Texas. That's my number one call. I don't even think it's close at this point. Unless if you can get a longer sitting high-end head coach if you're a UT. So here's the deal for Kansas State. That game against Kentucky was as good of a game we saw the entire first week. Back and forth. I thought Kentucky was going to win. But credit Kansas State for the resolve and the run at the end of the game to put it on ice in a game that, quite frankly, Kentucky didn't lose. Kansas State just won. Kentucky played very well in that game. Tshiebwe was dominant on the glass like he usually is. It was just that Kentucky couldn't make shots as well as they usually do from three-point range. That was the problem. We're 4-for-20. Tony Reeves was 1-of-10. Why they lost the game in the end. Because K-State, who's, again, not like K-State made a ton of threes. They're 5-of-21. But there is something about this Kansas State team, just an extra layer of mental toughness, an extra layer of, hey, we're going to get this thing done regardless of what it takes. And Marquise Noel is electric. 5'8". The most electric player on the floor. He took over the game and was the best player in that game on Sunday against Kentucky. Even though Massoud ended up making the biggest shot of the game, as crazy as that is. And I brought this up last night. And part of the reason that I'm a little bit frightened about betting Kansas State because of the history with Izzo, and Michigan State's going to have regression to the positive with their three-point shooting in all likelihood. But it's hard in March to lose when you have the two best players in a game. And that's the case here, where Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson are the two best players in the game for either team. And they both wear purple or lavender, whatever color they're wearing that day. But that's the main reason I lean to Kansas State here, even with all the things you look at on the Michigan State side that say, it is Sparty here. It is Izzo. Izzo is March. But in the end, I just, the amount of toughness and the quality of player at the top of Kansas State's roster. Now, if Keontae Johnson gets in foul trouble, yeah, Kansas State could have some problems here. I don't see Noel getting in foul trouble because he barely fouled this year. But in the end, I think the talent wins out. And this is a heck of a task for Jerome Tang. As a first-year head coach taking on the master of March. But I think he's up for the task. He outcoached Calipari down the stretch. And I know people like to rag on Cal. By the end of the year, Cal actually knew, kind of got his mojo back. I thought at the beginning of the year, Kentucky might have to consider firing Cal or ask him to say, hey, it might be time. Why don't you retire? Go to your early retirement. But in the end, I think K-State's up for this moment. Also, remember, too, first time for Marquise Noel, the product out of Harlem, going back home for the first time in 3 years. Committed to the game, as he said, as the broadcast said on Sunday. And Kansas State finds a way, guys. Take two. I think I'd rather take the two than take the money line, because Michigan State winning by one would not shock me either. The other game in New York City. All right, MSG. Tennessee. Florida Atlantic. What a spot for the Owls. First ever Sweet 16, and you get to go to the world's most famous arena. How about that? Tennessee was awfully impressive in round two. They did their usual nonsense in round one that Barnes does, where they let the team that's not as good hang around. They let them back in the game. It was never really in doubt that they were going to win the game, but they only won by three against the Cajuns. And Rick Barnes is bad as a favorite in the tournament. He is bad as a favorite. From Chris Felica earlier in the week, tweeted this out. Of course, the Bear now of Fox Sports. Rick Barnes is 2-7 as a favorite outright in tourney games. 2-7 against the spread, 5-4 outright in tourney games as a favorite at Tennessee. Dating back to his time at Texas, he's 2-11-1 with 7-7 outright. Dangerous. Dangerous game here for Barnes and UT against a Florida Atlantic team that is in a role that is a lot more comfortable for them. They were a small underdog against Memphis. They found a way. They had the whole world rooting against them, especially everyone in attendance in Columbus except for their little fan section. Didn't cover, didn't play great, but found a way against FDU. But this is a better spot for a team like Florida Atlantic, who again, 33-3. It's hard to go 30 games over 500 at College Hoops. Doesn't matter what level you're at. And the one thing that I love about Dusty May's team, and we brought it up last night, they can beat you playing slow in a grind fest. They can beat you playing fast. And nothing more than what it was earlier in the tournament proved the point. Round one, 60 possessions against Memphis. Slow game. They found a way to win by one. 73 possession game against FDU. That's a pretty fast game. Found a way to beat the Knights. This will be a grind fest. Tennessee's going to try to intimidate them with their physicality like they're able to do against Duke. But I don't know if Florida Atlantic's going to be intimidated here. Now, I think the officiating this game is going to play a massive role. If Tennessee's physicality is called fouls by this officiating crew, Florida Atlantic has a better shot of covering and maybe winning the game outright. If the officiating crew lets them play, and I don't know who the officials are on Thursday yet, then Tennessee's going to be in a, then Tennessee should be able to win this game. I think whoever wins this game loses to the winner of K-State Michigan State. Winner of that game was going to play in the Final Four in Houston. That's what I think. But in the end here, if you're going to, if this gets to six, we're definitely hopping in on the Owls. But I still think it's a lean to Florida Atlantic. Survivor-wise, by the way, survivor pools, I'm done. Thank you, Mizzou. Thanks again. As always, the alma mater finds a way to mess it up. I think Tennessee probably is your best choice on Thursday because the West region games are very even. And I'd like to save the winner of the bottom of the East region. Friday, if you advance to Friday, I guess if you don't think Creighton has a shot to beat Alabama, you take Creighton. If not, I would go Texas, but I don't know. I don't know. It's tough. Nitty gritty in survivor pool is very, very difficult when it's all said and done. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in these games in Madison Square Garden. Again, FAU, Tennessee, the nightcap at MSG. Winner will take on the winner of K-State and Michigan State. Elite Eight action on Saturday at Madison Square Garden in NYC. Coming up next, hey, we keep the tournament talk going. We keep it going. Mackenzie Kramer of ESPN is going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts of what he has in the round of 16 in the NCAA tournament as we roll along on a GP on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode.
Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for just $19. Our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets and tools like our exclusive betting splits. So sign up today and get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for just $19. VSiN.com/subscribe. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Greg Peterson here on the GPE. And now with us of ESPN Stats and Information, Mackenzie Kramer joins us right now. Mackenzie, thank you for staying up late with us tonight.
Anytime. Yeah, we got an early daily wager tomorrow, so I'm going to bed right after this. We got a 4 o'clock show tomorrow, so I got to be up in about 6.5 hours. So staying up late with you tonight.
Hey, we appreciate it in a big way, man. And, hey, look, we'll get through these next two segments as quickly as possible to get you off the bed for that early show. Mackenzie, let's start off here. We're going to start in the East region. Let's start there. And these are the Thursday games. And the first game up, it's Michigan State, it's Kansas State. And look, I like Kansas State. I think they're the better basketball team. The only concern that I have is past history with Tom Izzo is – working against K-State here. 18-6 outright in the second weekend in the NCAA tournament. Is great. Double-digit wins all time as a worst seed in the NCAA tournament for Izzo. But, Mackenzie, I think Kansas State just has more – has the two dudes in this game you need in Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel. What are your thoughts on this one?
Completely agree. I heard you talking last segment about how Kansas State has the two best players in this game, and I agree. I saw this line open at Pick'em. I was a little bit surprised. I thought Kansas State was the better team. I don't really care about the seeding. I mean, it's the first time we've seen a team seeded four spots below being favored in the Sweet 16 since 2015, but mm-hmm. You know, the seeding doesn't matter that much. I just think Kansas State is a little better team. I haven't been overly impressed with Michigan State pretty much all season until that Marquette game when they stifled them on defense and won despite terrible shooting from the outside. I think this is a little bit of an overreaction to that game and to that Tom Izzo March narrative. Everybody knows Tom Izzo is very good in March. Like you said, he's got a lot of wins as the lower seed, but against the spread that hasn't really come through recently. Last 13 tournament games, he's 6-7 against the spread. Last 24 tournament games, he's 12-12 against the spread. So going back about a decade now, he's been about a 500 coach against the spread in the tournament. And I think the narrative is just, you know, when in doubt, back Tom Izzo. I think this game is really a 50-50 game, maybe a 55-45 game in favor of Kansas State. And if you're going to give me 2 points or give me a plus 110 on the money line, I got to go with K-State in this one. And I think that this could be a little bit correlated with the total, too. If you like Michigan State, maybe an under. And if you like Kansas State, I could see that being an over. I think there's a little bit more of a chance of the under hitting, so maybe I would lean that way. I think K-State can have a better chance to win each time away. But I lean K-State in this one. It's not a huge play, but that's a line that I look at, and I think the wrong team's favored. Not by much, but I would make this line probably K-State minus one.
Yeah, I had a K-State minus 1.5, so we were both closer to the opener and, of course, bet through. Now with K-State getting the whole 2 points right now against Michigan State. The nightcap at MSG, Florida Atlantic and Tennessee. I have nothing on this game, McKenzie. I lean FAU, but I can't quite get there. But you're looking to the total on this one where we just saw Tennessee really just out-physical Duke and FAU, a team that is capable of playing any style.
Yeah, I think that's what Tennessee's going to be trying to do now without Ziegler. I think their identity is to try to turn these games into these physical, low-scoring, low-possession games. They've held both opponents in the tournament in the 50s, and I think they're going to try to do the same to FAU. So a total of about 130.5. I grabbed it at 131. I kind of like the under in this one. I could see a low-scoring game with both teams having legit chances to win. I lean FAU on the side, but I'm a little bit concerned about have they played a team that plays any defense like Tennessee all season long. I mean, Tennessee's number one in adjusted efficiency. I believe they're top three in adjusted defensive efficiency. They've been so good on the defensive end all season. But offensively, I don't trust this Volunteer team at all. So much of their offense comes on second chance scoring, 14th in the nation, second chance points per game. Almost 20% of their scoring is on second chance points. FAU isn't a huge team, but they gang rebound very well, and they do a very good job on the defensive glass. And if they do that and they limit Tennessee to one shot, I think this is going to be a pretty low scoring game with any team having a chance to win. And even historically, there's a bunch of trends that would point toward FAU as well. You've mentioned Rick Barnes in previous segments, 38% against the spread as a tournament favorite, 2-7 against the spread at Tennessee. FAU has been a really good covering team all year, 22-11-1. And we've seen these 8-9 seeds after beating the 1 seeds, 14-8 ATS in the Sweet 16 since 1985 expansion, and 7-2 against the spread since 2011. So these 8-9 seeds that tend to get to the Sweet 16, I know that they beat Fairleigh Dickinson, so they didn't quite have to go through Purdue. But, these teams can keep it rolling. So I lean FAU on this one, and I also like the under.
McKenzie, I know I have this one right. 8 or 9 seeds that beat a 16 seed are 1-0 outright in the Sweet 16 because Kansas State beat UMBC and then beat Kentucky in that Sweet 16 round before losing to another darling that year in Loyola Chicago. So I know I have that one right. So FAU has a very small sample size of history on their side in this one, in that regard. Let's go to the games that are here in Vegas, McKenzie. UConn and Arkansas. I'm not betting this game. I think this game just has so much variance with how immensely talented these teams are and how both of these teams have an idiotic strain at times. So I'm not betting this game. It's 3.5, 139.5. What are you looking at here?
It's funny. I'm looking at my notes right now, which I didn't send to Jason, but your producer. But the first 3 words on my breakdown for this game is high variance game. Mm-hmm. And because I agree, both these teams have very high upside when everything is going well. And we've also seen these teams struggle at times. But every model you look at, the spread's over 3.5. Like our BPI model is about 4.5. KenPom is about 6. And I think that UConn's just a little bit undervalued at the 3.5 number. I think people have been wanting to buy into this Arkansas squad all season, myself included. I bet them in the futures market about a month ago, so I wouldn't mind Arkansas advancing in this game. But a lot of my reasoning for wanting to take Arkansas was that I thought that Nick Smith, their superstar point guard prospect, who's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft next year, might be breaking out. But in 2 tournament games, he's just 2-for-14 from the field. He's limited to 16 minutes last game. So Arkansas did play very well and they beat Kansas, but it wasn't quite the way that I thought that would be kind of sustainable going forward. So I think this number has a little bit of recency bias towards Arkansas looking impressive in that game. And I think this number is just a little bit low, but I also think this could be a very good live betting game if one team gets up big early. Both teams can easily give it away or make a run. And the other way you could maybe play this game is if you do like the Arkansas side, I would just take the money line and not even take the points. I think you'll get more. I think they're more likely to win this game. I don't think UConn wins this game by 1 to 3 points very often. Most of their wins have come in blowouts this year. So I would either go Arkansas money line or maybe even look at a UConn alt line, -9.5, about +250, +260. there's a chance they can blow out Arkansas in this game. And one other thing with UConn that really impresses me in terms of them making a run, I like teams that do well in non-conference games. UConn 12-1 against the spread when they're playing non-Big East teams this year. So when they play teams that aren't used to them, they tend to do very well.
UConn looked like arguably the best team in the country until Big East play started. They like you said, have steamrolled through non-con opponents. And, of course, SEC Big East in Vegas for this one early on Thursday night. 4:15 local time in Vegas, 7:15 Eastern for that one. And then the nightcap. Boy, what a matchup between UCLA and Gonzaga. Again, we have seen this matchup now. This is the third consecutive season these teams have played. Gonzaga won in the tournament, in the national semifinal with the Suggs half-court heave in overtime to win that game by 3. Then they played here in Vegas at the beginning of the regular season last year, and UCLA had a flu bug and got pummeled by Chet Holmgren and company. Now UCLA is a 2-point favorite here. Total's 145.5. Mackenzie, I think this is one of those, a very correlated game here based off total and spread.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Gonzaga obviously wants to push tempo. UCLA wants to slow things down, especially with the injuries they're dealing with David Singleton. We're not sure of his status. Adam Bona banged out. Jalen Clark also out. But Gonzaga's been a team I've been looking to fade. I like fading these teams that are really good on one end of the ball and really bad on the other. And Gonzaga's a team that's really good on offense, not so good on defense. We've already seen Marquette and Baylor get knocked out, who have similar profiles. Well, UCLA players, they've been in these situations before, and they've thrived in these situations before. I trust Tiger Campbell as much as any point guard in the country. I trust Jaquez to make winning plays. He's one of the best defenders in the country. They kind of remind me of some of those old Villanova teams that made deep runs and played really smart basketball, and they played better than the sum of their parts. But they don't even necessarily need to play better than the sum of their parts, because one X factor for UCLA is Amari Bailey, former top five recruit this year, starting to break out. 17 points a game since Jalen Clark got hurt. He's playing a lot better recently and much more efficient basketball as well. I think that could be the difference. Gonzaga hasn't been a good team against the spread all year. They're the only team left in the field that's below 500 against the number, 14-20 this year. So I like UCLA in the spot. I know Gonzaga is a little bit tough to get in the way of, especially in Las Vegas, where they're going to have a pretty large crowd in front of them. But I like UCLA in the spot.
It's going to be an electric environment at T-Mobile on Thursday. Just fan bases that are perfect for the market in UCLA and Gonzaga, and two fan bases that love to travel in UConn and Arkansas. Should be awesome games on Thursday and Saturday here in Vegas. Mackenzie, stick around with more NCAA tournament games and your thoughts on the Dell Technologies golf tournament this weekend here on the GPE.
Seen Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with our MLB betting guide. It is available now in his futures, team previews, and best bets. Steve Mackin and his power ratings on every team, plus Adam Burke breaks down how new rules in Major League Baseball impact bettors. Whether you bet baseball every day or are looking for valuable futures, our betting guide has it all. So sign up today and get full access to VSiN for 30 days. For only $19 at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back in. This is the GPE. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you. Greg is back tomorrow. Don't worry, folks. With us right now, VSPN Stats and Information, Mackenzie Kramer joining us for a second segment here. Again, UCLA, UConn, K-State, Florida Atlantic, and the under in FAU and Tennessee was what Mackenzie gave us in the first segment. Mackenzie, I know that none of these next few games are official plays, but some leans. Both Midwest games you have leans on. I want to start with the Miami game. It's just one of those where Miami's defense scares me in this game, where we know Houston's defense is going to be good to great in this game. Miami might have just had their best defensive performance of the year 2 rounds ago against Drake. I'm not so certain they're capable of doing that again against Houston, but if they are, this feels like a tight game.
You know, when you tell me that all my picks are in the Thursday games, I didn't realize that all the games I don't have leans that I don't have bets for are on Friday. So I got a lot of work to do the next couple of days to give me some action on Friday night. But no, I think I lean Miami in this spot. They scare me. I mean, Miami is they've seen the burn me every year in the tournament recently. I always seem to underestimate them. But Jim Larrañaga as an underdog, I think I'm just done fading that. Like you'd mentioned Tom Izzo and how good he is in the tournament. Larrañaga as an underdog, last 3 years, 32-12 ATS, 7-2 against the number this year. Miami's got really, really good guard play. That's what you want to, that's what you want to have in March to win games. But you're right that Miami's a tough team to back. I normally don't like backing these teams that are pretty much all offense, no defense. I already told you I didn't like Gonzaga in the other game for similar reasons. So I'm kind of contradicting myself by taking Miami. I guess maybe I just want to think that Houston might be a little bit overinflated by playing that American Athletic Conference schedule. This might be the best backcourt they faced all season or very close to it. I know they played Alabama earlier in the year, but I think I like Miami in the spot. I don't know if I'm actually going to get there or not. Houston's very scary as well. We know how suffocating they can be on defense. I think part of the reason I was down on Miami entering the tournament is because I didn't think Omir would be playing, but Omir's been playing and playing very well for them. So that's been a huge lift for them. So I think I like Miami in the spot, but I don't know if I'm going to quite get there at the window.
The other game in Kansas City, Texas and Xavier. Sean Green is on Xavier, who we had earlier in the show. I like Texas. I think it's a terrible matchup for Xavier. Just the, even though Texas's bigs aren't big, they're very physical and have an extra layer of mental toughness. It says on here you're leaning Texas, but Mackenzie, I think this is a brutal matchup for the X-Men here.
Yeah, I'm much closer to making a bet on this game than I am the Miami game. I think I'm probably going to end up with a Texas -4 bet. Xavier's another team right there. A lot of offense, not that much defense. I think Xavier stabilized a little bit. They've been playing without Zach Fremantle for a month and a half, and they're starting to play a lot better basketball with him. But I agree. I think this Texas team, they're a team that I liked a lot entering the tournament. I had them coming out of that region in a lot of my brackets, and they're just, I really like their starting five players. I think they're really deep, and I don't think there's a whole lot of weak links in that team. Really good on offense, really good on defense. Xavier, their depth, I don't quite trust as much as the Texas depth, and I think I like Texas in this spot. I'm a little bit concerned about the number. I could see this being a close game down the stretch where we're kind of sweating it, coming down to free throws at the end, and maybe at that point I'll want the points. But I think Texas is going to win this game, and I think they're going to win. 4 is a low number. If it hits 3.5, I'm definitely going to hit fire on it. But 4 will probably be a bet, but I haven't made it yet.
Yeah, 3.5, I won't be any hesitation for me, but 4 still feels pretty good. My numbers, I made it 5.5, so even at 4, that's still pretty good based off the 5.5. All right, this is one I already have. I bet Creighton already. Great story with Princeton, Mackenzie, but Arizona didn't show up, and Mizzou couldn't make shots and didn't play a lick of defense. Creighton's going to show up, and they're going to play defense. I think this is a brutal matchup for the Tigers in this one.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying that Princeton's nightmare matchup is a team with elite athletes that is just going to out-athlete them and out-physical them, but I kind of agree with you. I think it's a team like Creighton that executes very well, but also has the size and the athleticism. They have a lot of guys they can throw at Tosin to give them troubles on the offensive end, and they really like this Creighton team, top 25 on both sides of the ball, playing some of their best basketball in the tournament, back-to-back games, RJ Nembhard and Ryan Kalkbrenner with career highs in scoring. So they're getting some really strong contributions from their core players. We've seen the 14 and 15 seeds be a little bit feisty in this round, 5-0 against the spread in the Sweet 16, but 10 is a lower number than we usually see. It's a lower number than we saw with St. Peter's or Oral Roberts or FGCU, any of the teams we saw in this game recently. And I think it is a little bit low. I think this Creighton team, I know they're a 6 seed, but I thought that they were the second best team in this region when the bracket came out. And I still feel that way. And I think I'm probably going to get to the fire on Creighton before the game, but I haven't totally made up my mind yet. I'm a little nervous laying 10 points with Greg McDermott, but I tend to think that Creighton's the right side here.
Yeah, and just in the end, I'm with you on a Greg McDermott thing, Mackenzie, but I think that clock is about to strike midnight for Princeton. It wouldn't shock me if the clock strikes midnight early in this one as well, and might have to sweat it, but I think Creighton 15 points better in this game would not shock me one bit. All right, let's go to some golf here. Again, it's March Madness in golf, too. Match play. We end up with a bracket when this is all said and done after group play. Let's just go corner by corner here in these next 4 minutes. Top left part of the bracket, what are you looking at here, Mackenzie?
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler is the favorite in this field, and I don't blame you at all if you want to take him in the 8-1, 9-1 range. But match play is so volatile. I mean, he's about even money to come out of that region, so there's about a 50% chance he's gone. So I ideally would like to fade the guys in that region, but the guys in the top left I'm looking at right now is Chris Kirk. I think he's just a little bit undervalued. He won a couple of weeks ago, and he's been playing some of the best golf in his career recently, and he's not being priced that way. I think that Kirk 85-1 range is a pretty good bet. In the first round matchup, he's about even money against Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim struggled a lot in this event, and I like Kirk a lot in that spot. I also like Victor Perez to win Group 9 in that one as well. He's a long shot with Morikawa and Jason Day, both the heavy favorites in that field. But Victor Perez, he's already made a Final Four in this before. He's playing some really good golf in his career. I believe he's the number 34 golfer in the world right now. So I like the way Perez has been playing. I like his history in this event. So I like him as a long shot in Group 9.
Let's go to the bottom left, Mackenzie. What are you looking at there?
Bottom left is my favorite bet to win the entire tournament, which is Patrick Cantlay. I think that he's got a probably the easiest path out of any of the top guys in this field. I think Brian Harman, KH Lee, Nick Taylor, that's a pretty weak group. I think they face maybe the weakest group in the entire tournament next in the Sam Burns, Seamus Power, Adam Scott, Adam Hadwin group, which I also kind of like Adam Scott as a long shot in that group. I've seen him as the longest odds in that group in some sports books. There's been a lot of range in terms of what the odds are in the group odds and the round one matchup. So I suggest shopping around for a lot. There are some books you can easily scalp right now even, but Cantlay 18-1, playing some really, really good golf right now. And I think that's probably the easiest quadrant right there in the bottom left. And I think he's a really talented player and has the easiest path. So that's a good number for me at 18-1.
Let's keep going here. Mackenzie, top right. You got another long shot here in the top right.
Yeah, Corey Connors is a ball striker who did really well in this tournament last year, knocking out guys like Alex Noren and Louis Oosthuizen, who have had really good success in this field. Cam Young, I think, is a little bit of a vulnerable favorite in that side. Straka as the second pod, one of the longest shots in the entire field. So I think that's a good route for Connors. I'm a little bit worried that he might have faced Jon Rahm in the second round, but Rahm has a really tough group with Billy Horschel, Keith Mitchell, and Ricky Fowler there. I also like a couple of round one matchups there. Davis Thompson over Cam Young. Again, I think Cam Young's a pretty vulnerable favorite. Plus 155 is a pretty good number there. I also like a Ryan Fox to win Group 7. He's the longest shot in that field, plus 390. Also even money over Harris English. And I also have Kurt Kitayama, plus 330 to win Group 10. I think that's a pretty wide open group as well. Finau is the favorite. I'm not a big fan of Moronk or Breidenhout in that region.
Kitayama, of course, winning a few weeks ago for his first win on the PGA Tour. And then the last one, the bottom right of this 64-player bracket here, Mackenzie.
Yeah, that's probably my second favorite outright bet for the entire tournament, which is Tom Hoagie, 66-1 range. I really like his approach game. I think he's a really steady golfer. I'm a little bit nervous about his draw. I think Cam Davis might even be a bit of a feisty long shot in that group, but I think Schauffele is a little bit vulnerable. Aaron Wise is a guy that I've liked in the past, but his form is really bad right now. So I think I like Hoagie a lot, and I think that if Hoagie can win that group, he can make a pretty nice run. I also like him minus 130 over Wise in round one. And one of the groups that I have is Russell Henley to win in group 14. I understand that Tyrrell Hatton's been playing some really good golf recently. He's got really good course form in this event, but I think that's all over. That's factored into the line, and it's factored in a little bit too much. Henley hasn't been in great form, but he had a top 20 last week. He might be starting to get it together. And Lucas Herbert, Ben Griffin, the bottom of the field, I don't think either of them have that big of a chance. So I like Henley in that group.
He's Mackenzie Kramer, ESPN stats and information on the tweets at MacNova. Mackenzie, thanks for being with us tonight. Go get some sleep for that early Daily Wager show tomorrow.
Always good to talk to another Jersey guy.
Absolutely. You're darn right there, Mackenzie. Mackenzie Kramer, everyone. GPE, we're rolling along here.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to do my name.
That's my game.
You're experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be. You can win up to 10 grand in bonus money instantly by playing their exclusive Bet Rivers Squares game this basketball season. Place a qualifying bet and get your square on the house. If the numbers on your square match the final score of the game, you win. Restrictions on qualifying wagers, eligible bonus, and credit use. Full terms and conditions available at BetRiversSquares.com. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Big thanks to everyone who joined us tonight. Pam Maldonado, Sean Green, Mackenzie Kramer, who's just with us in the last segment. Hoops is back tomorrow, so no more panic from everyone who was expecting to hear from Greg these last two nights. He's back tomorrow. Been blessed filling in for Hoops. See me again next weekend on the network doing the same sort of shift. Let's get to the West region. In my opinion, even though the one seed is gone, it's a shame Kansas is gone because I had futures on Kansas. But regardless, Arkansas found a way, and Musselman's an awesome coach. And Kansas missed Bill Self in that game. Even though they're gone, and it's an 8 seed here, 8-4, 3-2-1, so chalk and an 8. This is the strongest 1-4 remaining. And I don't really think it's particularly close, actually. Obviously, the South region, even with the number one overall seed, Alabama, Princeton really blows that up. Florida Atlantic, like them as a team, nowhere near as good as any of these four teams. And then these four teams, I think, are better than a pretty close to chalk region in the Midwest. So let's start with that first game. And Mackenzie Kramer and I talked about this earlier. The highest variance game on the board, and it's not even close in the round of 16. Number 8, Arkansas. Number 4, UConn. UConn's a 3.5-point favorite. Total's 139.5. These teams are obscenely talented, both of them. Both of them. When UConn has played against non-Big East teams, UConn has been the best team in the country this year. And they were dominant in the second half of both of their games in the first two rounds. Dominant against Iona in the second half. The Duke's injury did not help St. Mary's at all, but I still think UConn would have handled them. I thought that was a good matchup for Connecticut, in all honesty, against a team that is a little bit plodding. They play slow. They're not overly athletic. I thought that was a very good matchup for UConn, and they ended up winning the game comfortably. Arkansas, look, I think in the end here for Arkansas, they're going to need something from Nick Smith. They're going to need something. I don't know how much they'll need, but they will need something. Because this Connecticut team is a different, even, and it's weird to say this about a team that just beat a one seed. But Kansas, they were good. They were very good. I thought they were capable of winning the title. I thought they had mental toughness, unlike many teams in the country. And in the end, they end up losing because of a mistake on a 10-second violation and a few missed free throws at the end. But UConn's talent is better than Kansas's talent. UConn is two elite big guys. I think Klingon's going to be awesome. I think he'll end up being better than Sanogo if he stays all 4 years at UConn. And Sanogo's pretty darn good in his own right. I think in the end here, and I'm not going to bet this game, I think this is the greatest of all the matchups this weekend, of the eight games. This is the best in-game betting game by a significant margin. Because I think you're going to get an opportunity to get one of these teams getting, with either Arkansas getting double digits, or you're going to end up with a scenario where you're going to be getting points with UConn. I think this game ends up being tight. I don't want to lay 3.5 because I don't know which direction it's going to go. But these teams, boy, these teams are both so talented. And their metrics pan out. Their metrics pan out. They're both top 15 in defense. UConn is better metrically because they're 3 in offense and Arkansas is 51. The one thing that drives you crazy with Arkansas, look, there are a bunch of things that drive them crazy with them, I should say. They're immensely talented. They play stupid at times. They can't hit threes. They don't take threes. They're 317th in the country in making three-pointers this year, percentage-wise. That's usually a hard way to win in March when you can't make threes in this day and age in college hoops. But their talent is so high level. And I do think Musselman is a better coach than Hurley. I think this is a coaching advantage for the Hogs. But in the end here, I think UConn's talent, I think UConn wins the game outright. And if UConn's guards play well in this game, that's where the Huskies end up getting the win here. And they are so going to be a difficult out regardless. But hey, look, I don't think they're capable of winning the title. I think with UConn, there's just enough stupidity there that at some point in this tournament, they will play one game they probably should win and they will lose. And look, they could be favored in every game left in this region. They could be favored against UCLA. It wouldn't shock me one bit. Especially if UCLA wins a tight game against Gonzaga. UConn should be favored over Gonzaga. I'm not sure if they will be or not. But 3.5 right now on this one. 139.5. The total. The highest variance game of the week by a pretty significant margin in the Sweet 16. And in the nightcap, the final game that we'll talk about here. UCLA and Gonzaga. The Bruins are 2-point favorites. And I think it's all going to come down to injuries here. I really do. I think this is injury factors for UCLA. What is David Singleton? Is Bona going to be able to play? We know Jalen Clark's done. And I think this game is also going to be based off of, this is correlated. I think if UCLA is going to win and cover, this game goes under 145.5. If this game goes over 145.5, Gonzaga doesn't win when they don't score 75 points. And I think they're going to struggle to score 75 points in this game. This is correlated. Dog and over, under and under and favored, which is obviously a little bit different than what we would normally be looking at here. But because of the way UCLA plays, and we know UCLA wants to grind you out, they want to physical it up. They are awesome defensively, second best defense in the nation. And they, as they go, Tiger Campbell goes on the offensive side of the ball. If Tiger Campbell, again, the losses for UCLA this year, 5 losses. 4 of those 5 games, Tiger Campbell did not play well, and it was abjectly bad in 3 of them. And if you get bad Tiger Campbell here, Gonzaga's going to win the game. But if you get good Tiger Campbell and you get this game played at UCLA's pace, this is going to be a very tall task for Gonzaga. Because UCLA, even with injuries, has the horses to guard Drew Timme, which was not the case with TCU. If Lampkin doesn't go in transfer portal, I think TCU wins that game. But because they didn't have Lampkin in that game, Timmy was able to do whatever he wanted. And Gonzaga was able to find a way and win the game. And obviously we know the epic bad beat of you and Gonzaga minus 4.5. But UCLA, if they get through this game, look, I wouldn't be shocked if UCLA loses this game. I wouldn't be shocked if UCLA wins the title at this point. The two seeds that are left, the two of them, UCLA and Texas, I thought going into this tournament were the highest ceiling two seeds anyway. Because Arizona I didn't really love because I don't like Tommy Lloyd. I don't think he's that good of a coach. I think he's a new era Rick Barnes with more offensive-minded than defensive-minded. And Marquette I never really bought. I think they played over their heads the whole year, and it kind of showed in their loss to Michigan State. By the way, if you look at the odds on your screen right now, if you're watching us at VSiN.com, Alabama, you're betting favorite, plus 340, Houston, plus 360. I think that number on UCLA is pretty good still at 8-1. I think that's a reasonable number. Now, I know the math guys will be yelling at me that you can end up with a better rollover. You may very well be right. But if it's Arkansas-UCLA, UCLA is probably going to be probably the same favorite that UConn is in that game. And if somehow you don't get Houston or Texas out of the Midwest, UCLA is going to be a big favorite over either of those other teams, or a bigger favorite against either of those other teams. They'd be a dog against Houston, and I would make UCLA and Texas a pick personally. I think that's an even game. I also think if you want to go down the board, I think Arkansas is the play at 35-1. Now, that one I know you'd definitely be able to get better rollover. I also don't mind Kansas State. Look, if Alabama doesn't make the title game, there's going to be a weird finalist from the left side. Creighton, K-State, Michigan State, probably your three most likely. I'm not buying Tennessee still. I just don't think their offense is good enough to win both games in Madison Square Garden. And Izzo against Barnes is as big of a mismatch as it gets in a tournament game, especially in Elite Eight. It'll be very interesting. Hey, pro tip real quick here. Again, there are a lot of trends floating around right now in the NCAA tournament. Make sure if you want to make sure they're a part of your handicap, fine. But don't make it the end-all, be-all in your handicap. Use multiple things to come to the conclusions on your bets. And that's really a good thing, not just for the tournament, but for any time in betting, any sport. That's all the time we have here on the GPE. I'm Jeff Parles. Had a blast the last two nights. Greg is back tomorrow. Good luck with all your bets this weekend, everyone. From us here at the GPE on VSiN.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.